Mesechtas Baba Basra, Daf Yud Beis, 5 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph and Beis. Amar Mar, we learned previously in the Braisa, Hayasasim Bikesh Lepeschai, Embre Mavui Ma'akvin Lav, that if Reuven had a doorway that was open into a Mavui, and then he closed it up and he sealed it up, and then afterwards he decides that he wants to open it up in order that he should be able to walk in through that Mavui. So since he originally had a right to walk through that Mavui, therefore he doesn't lose that right, and the Bnei Mavui would not be able to hold him back from reopening that door. And as we will see in a moment, this din is not only relevant to a person that has a doorway that opens up into a mavoi, but the same din applies when Reuven has a house in a chatzar and his doorway opens up into the chatzar and then he closes it up and then he wants to reopen the doorway, that he has the right to do so. And the Gemara teaches us that Rava qualifies this din and he states, Leishanu or Shle Peretz as Pesimav, the only time that we say that Reuven doesn't lose his rights to open up his door into the mavoi or into a chatzar is only where he didn't remove the door frame and he didn't take off the side post, the lintel, and the threshold of the doorway. And as Rashi states, Le Solik Mezuzasu Mashkafu Maftin, the Goli Dait Le Silik Nafshe, Visefel Pesachalach Hazman, and this way he was Megal Das, they're really not closing up this doorway as a permanent basis, and it was only on a temporary basis, and eventually he will open up the doorway, and he therefore was Megal Das that he wants to retain his rights to this area. However, Rava states, Avo Paratus Petzima, Bnei Mavim Akvinalov, once he would actually remove the entire door frame, then the Bnei Mavui would be ma'akav on him. As Lamaisa, he showed that he was not going to open it up again, and therefore he gave up his rights to this Mavui. And the Gemara continues, Amalei Abaye l'Rava, so Abaye says to Rava, Tayin l'Messiah, I'll bring you a Braisa, they'll bring a Raya to your Memra. And we continue on Dafyud Bezim and Aleph, and the Braisa teaches us, Bayez Sosum, Yeshli Dalad Amais, that if Reuven had a doorway from his house into a Chatzar, and he closed up this doorway, then the din is that he still has the right to a full Amma area for his loading zone. However, the Braisa tells us, Paritz is Pitzima of Engle Dal Amis, that the only time that we stated that he has a right to his 4-amma loading zone is only where he didn't remove his door frame. However, once he removes his door frame, then it's clear that he meant to do this on a permanent basis, and therefore he doesn't have a right to a 4-amma area for his loading zone. And before we continue with the Braisa, let's point out that the din is that if there's a mess that's inside a home, then certainly any person or anything that's in that home would become tummy because of Tumas oil. And in addition, if there's any item or person that walks within 4 amas of the doorway of this home, even though that person or that item is outside of the home, would also become tummy, as we consider a 4-amma area outside of the doorway of a home to be tummy mace. However, as we will see, that if there's a house that's completely enclosed and there are no doorways, then we look at the house as if it's a kever, and the Rabbanan will misaken that the 4-amma area around the kever is mitame, and the Gemara Masechta says to teach us that the reason for takana is k'deish loyikru v'oisei tayus ad hakeva ve'ilu v'lava daitayu, that someone is oisei tayus should not go so close to a keva, as if he does so maybe by mistake he will go so close to the keva that there will be oil on top of him and on top of the tayus, and therefore the tayus will become tame and he won't realize it. And the Braisa brings this down in 2 different cases, and we are only going to the second case, but we will still read the first case as well. But both dinim seem to be telling us the same din. And the Braisa continues, Keva Shepischei Sasam, if you have a keva that's opening and is closed, Einu Metame Kol Svivav, it would not be Metame all around it, and it would only be Metame next to the Pesach, because there's a potential that you'll open up that doorway. However, Paratus Pesimav V'Sasmai Metame Kol Svivav, if you remove the door frame of that door to the keva, then it will be Metame in a 4-amma area around the entire keva. And the Braisa continues, Bayis Sasam Einu Metame Kol Svivav, that if there's a fully enclosed home, and even though at one point it had a doorway, but someone went and closed up and sealed that doorway, since there's a potential that you'll still open up that doorway, therefore the tumah only goes out of that doorway, and the only place that is tummy outside of the home is only within 4 amas of that doorway, but anywhere else around the home would not be considered tummy. However, parts of Petzima, Metame Kol Svivav, once you take off the door frame of that original door, then we're showing that we're not going to reopen this doorway, and therefore we look at the bias as if there are no doors, and therefore we look at it as a kever. And once the house has a din like a keva, so then the Takanas Rabbanan does apply, and any item that comes within 4 amos of the entire house, and even though it's not next to the original doorway, would be considered tamei based on the Takanas Chachamim. And Ayin Taisi Dima Maschel Paratz Petzima Mitamikal Svivav, and it brings down, and Rashi says that since this house doesn't have a door, therefore we consider the house as if it's a keva, and therefore the Takanas Rabbanan B'negei Keva applies to the this home, and Tosfos asks that l'chayra that takanas chachamim is only specifically b'negeya kever, as the whole reason for takanas chachamim is that maybe someone will be mile ala kever. However, b'negeya bias is not shaykh that someone will actually be mile on a bias because it's much higher, and therefore there's no such danger, and therefore the takanas chachamim should not apply. And ayin in Tosfos where it brings the teretz for Rashi ayin sham, and the Gemara continues. Rabbi Bachana states in the name of Rabbi Yechon, Mavoyis Hamfulashis Le'er Acheres, Ubikshu Bnei Eir L'Seisman, Bnei Oysa Eir Ma'akfin Aleyin, that if there is a street that goes through a Mavoy, which goes from one side to the other, and is open on both sides, and is not a dead-end street, and on one side it opens up into City A, and the other side, the street leads into Rosh Hashanah, or to another larger road, where people would travel from there to City B, and the people in City A, they don't want so much traffic, and they want to close up the side of the Mavoy that leads to City B, and they want to make it into a dead end, so the residents of City B can prevent City A from closing up this Mavoy, as they already had a right to walk through this Mavoy and take a shortcut to their city. And Rabbi Bachana continues, that certainly in a case where the members of City B do not have any other way to get to the city, that certainly they can prevent the members of City A from closing up this Mavoy, but even if they have another derech in order to travel from city A to city B, and even if taking that other road, it would actually take the same amount of time to get from point A to point B, and it would not actually increase that time of travel, and even so, they could prevent city A from closing up this Mavoy. And the Gemara explains, Mishum Rabbi Hudam Rav, and this is based on the din that Rabbi Hudam Rav taught us, the Am Rabbi Hudam Rav, as Rabbi Huda taught us in the name of Rav, Meitzich Shekziku B'Ravim Asal Kalkloi, that if you have a border between two different fields, and the way that people used to make a boundary marker was by raising the actual property between two fields, and that area was generally not cultivated neither by the owner of field A or by the owner of field B, and if there were many people that would walk along that path and they would use it as a shortcut, then the owners of field A and field B cannot restrict them from doing so, as they're already machzik in this area and they were machzik in the shortcut. And ayin teis diva maschal mitz shechziku b'rabim asal kalkli haynech shechziku b'rishus, and that is talking about a case where the rabim came and were machzik in this area with rishus and with permission, but if they came to be machzik without permission, then you could certainly be meicha v'linka pizur v'lesev, and you could place a guard there and sit there with a stick, and if anyone comes, you could beat them up and make sure that they don't go and use this area. And from Tosfos it's mashmor that the only time that there's a din of mitzvah shechziku b'rabim is if the rabim originally had permission from these people to use this area as a shortcut. However, it would be a chazaka she'in mataina, then it would not be a valid chazaka, and you could always throw them out of this area. However, the Rashbam on Daf Kufa Menal states, ma'achava b'ayim yodu mecheskes rabim b'kaku v'shosku b'vadei machluhem, and therefore it's mashmor from the Rashbam, as long as the b'ayim actually had knowledge, even though they didn't actually give permission to the rabbim to actually go through this land, that would still be considered a chazaka. And the Gur and Shulchan Aruch brings down from Rashi Maseches Bava Kama Chof Chesam Anav, that's mashma like the Rashbam as well. And we explain this memory of Rabbi Bava Chana based on the Shita of the Ritva as well as the Iri, that even if this path that is Chuchzah Barabim is actually a longer path, but since they will amaisa machzik in this path, therefore you can't remove them from this path, as the Ritva states, Shafidu Maderech Hashniya Habi Yosei Tevim Maderech Zu Yicholim Bnei Eir Acheres La'akvam. And the Iri states, Ki Yeshu Reitzim Maderech Zeh V'Yeshu Reitzim Maderech Zeh. However, in Chayshish Mishpat, the priest is Medayik from Lashon Rashi in Diva Maschal Bnei Oisir. The Rashi says, Bnei Oisir Acheres Ma'akvan Aleim Shekvah Huchzah Gulkatzah Dakon Derech Oisim Mavoyis. And it's mashma, that's only in a case where it actually is a shortcut. However, if the Mitzvah Shechziku V'Rabim is anyway a longer derech in order to get to City B, then the people of City A could close up that road. And the Gemara continues, and we will not be gurious the next two lines. And Amar Rav Anan, Amar Shmuel, and Rav Anan states in the name of Shmuel, Mavoyis Hamfulashon Rishus Rabim U'bikshu Bnei Mavoyis L'hamad Ladin Lasais Bnei Rishus Rabim Akvin Alein. If you have a Mavoy that's open up into Rishus Rabim, and on the other end it's actually a dead end, and the group that lives within the Mavoy wants to build a doorway and want to put doors in order to enclose the Mavoy and not allow the Bnei Rishus Rabim to come into the area, so the din is that the Rabim that used the Rishus Rabim could be Ma'akev and could hold them back from building these doors and the doorway, as Lemaisa is restricting their ability to come into the Mavoy. And even though this Mavoy is not a thoroughfare, as it's not open from both sides, and therefore it's not normal for people in the Rishis Rabbim to actually walk through this Mavoi to go from point A to point B. However, Lemaisa, when there's a lot of people in the Rishis Rabbim, they always had the ability to have an overflow crowd move into the Mavoi, and that would ease congestion, and therefore the Bnei Mavoi cannot put these doors that will restrict their movement into the Mavoi. And the Meiri explains that certainly in a case where they keep these doors closed, then certainly that would be Asa, and even if they would say that we're going to leave the doors open the entire day, however, Lemaisa, they made a door frame, and that also restricts the Bnei Rishis Rabbim, as it's harder for them to get into the Mavoi. And in addition, once you have doors, there is a possibility that they will close them even during the daytime. And the Gemara continues, that we thought, that the only time that we said it would be awesome for them to make these doors is only in the four Amis that's closest to the Rishis Rabbim, and Amram Nachman. And just like the din Rab Zeir said in the name of Nachman, the Amram Zeir Amram Nachman, as Rab Zeir said in the name of Nachman, Dalad Amis has smuchas Rishis Rabbim, Kirishis Rabbim Damyon, that benegated din of Safik Tum Rishis Rabbim, where we know that Sveikri is Tar, because it's not like the case of Saita, as the case of Saita is the prototypical case of Safik Tumah, and that was done in private. Therefore, Safik Tumah Rishis Yachid Sveikri Tameh, but Safik Tumah Rishis Rabbim Sveikri Tar. And Rav Zeira taught us in the name of Nachman that the first four Amos in the Mavui that's closest to the Rishis Rabbim have a din of Safik Tumah Rishis Rabbim, and therefore, if there would be Safik Tumah that arises in the four Amos that's closest to the Rishis Rabbim, Sveikri would be Tar. And the Gemara thinks that the reason for the din of Rab Zeira on the name of Rab Nachman is because that the Dachbei Rabbim, that the people in the Rabbim actually go into the first four Amos of the Mavui, and therefore that area is considered an extension of the Rishis Rabbim, but anywhere further into the Mavui that's not within four Amos of the Rishis Rabbim would not be considered an extension of the Mavui, and therefore you could build doors in that area that's four Amos away from the Rishis Rabbim. And the Gemara responds, Velohi, that's not correct. Hasan in Tuba, that certainly Rab Nachman said this didn't be the Gei Tumah Rishis Rabbim, but the Maisa, when there are a lot of people in the Rishis Rabbim, so maybe those people will actually go into this Mavoi and will even go into the Mavoi further than four Amos, and therefore the Bnei Rishis Rabbim can prevent the Bnei Mavoi from building any doors at any point in the Mavoi, and even if that area is more than four Amos away from the Rishis Rabbim. And the Gemara continues and quotes from the Mishnah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, that stated, that the Tanakhama stated that the only way that one shutev could force another shutev to split up a sada is only if there would be enough to plant 9 kav of seeds for Reuven and 9 kav of seeds for Shimon, and that is the shear of kedei lezeh and kedei lezeh. However, Behuda imeh ashehi ba tisha chatzoy kav lezeh or tisha chatzoy kav lezeh. Rabbi Yehuda says the shear is actually 50% of that shear, and even if each partner can plant 4.5 kav in the sada, that would be enough. That would be considered kedei chaluka, and they would be able to force one another to split up their sada. And even though it seems to be a machlekes between the Tanakam and Reb Yehuda, however, Zokta Gemara of Loi Pligi, there is no machlekes between the Tanakam and Reb Yehuda. Maki Asrei, Maki Asrei, as the Tanakam was talking about an area in Eretz Yisrael where the soil was not as good, and therefore, in order to have a profitable field, each partner had to have a big enough field that they could plant 9 kav. However, Rabbi Yehuda lived in an area in Eretz Yisrael where the soil was much better, and therefore, even if the size of the field was only enough to plant 4.5 kav, that size of an area of field would be enough to be considered profitable, and therefore, that would be considered kedei l'chuluk l'zeh or kedei l'chuluk l'zeh. And the Gemara continues that Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda were both from Eretz Yisrael, and certainly the soil in Eretz Yisrael was better than in Bavel, and Lemaisa, based on the fact that the Mishnah brings down the Shita of the Tanakam and the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, therefore we see it's based on the actual area where the land is situated, and therefore the Gemara is but Bavel Mai, in Bavel where the land was not as fertile, so how large of a field do you have that's considered a Sheir Chaluka, and one partner would be able to force the other partner to split up the field? And before we continue, let's point out that the Gemara will speak about three different times that they used to plow the field. The first time that they used to plow a field was immediately after they harvested the grain or harvested the field, and at that point the land was very hard and it was harder to plow the field. And then a few months later, when it was the time to actually plant the field, they would plow the field once again. And at this point, it was easier to plow as the ground was softer, and this would make the field ready to accept the seeds, and then they would throw seeds into the ground. And then there was some kaimais where the minig was that they would plow the field once again in order to turn over the soil, in order to cover up the seeds with soil, and this way the plants would grow better. Certainly the third time that they would plow the field, that would be the easiest time to plow the field and would require the least work. And keep in mind that since there wasn't work every single day in a field, therefore they would not hire workers and certainly they would not rent oxen unless they needed it for that period of time. Now, once they would rent an ox, they definitely would want to rent an ox for a full day, as otherwise they're not maximizing the use of the ox and they're not maxing the profitability and they're wasting resources. Therefore, our Gemara tells us that Rabbeisa says, Beiradu Yoyma, then we're figuring out how much land each of the partners have to have in order to force the other partner to be able to split up the field. So in Bubble, we have to make sure that it's a large enough field that you could hire an ox for a full day of work and a full day of plowing. The Gemara asks, my Beiradu Yoyma, what are you referring to when you're saying that you have to be able to hire an ox for a full day of plowing? If we're discussing a full day of work, for the amount of time that it would take an ox to go and plow a field by the time of planting, which was easier, so although it's much harder to plow a field at the time of harvesting, as the field was much harder, but certainly it didn't take double the amount of time of plowing at the time when you're planting the seeds, and therefore there will be a loss of resources, and you won't be able to maximize your profitability. And if you'll explain that what Rabbi Yosef meant is that the field is large enough that you could hire an ox in order to plow right after the fields are harvested, where the fields are much harder, but certainly since it's easier to plow a field at the time that you're seeding the ground, so certainly this field is not large enough to be able to hire an ox for a one-day period, and you'll have to hire an ox for less than a one-day period when plowing the field at the time that you're seeding the field, and once again there will be a waste of resources. And the Gemara continues and brings two explanations as to what Rabbi Yosef could have meant when he stated Beiradu Yoyma. Number one, Ibais Ima the Karva and the Karavitani, that either Rabbi Yosef was saying that you have to have a large enough field that you could hire an ox for a full day period at the time that you're plowing the field after the harvest season. And of course, as we asked Al-Khira, if that would be the case, then at the time that you're plowing the field, when you're ready to plant the field, the Al-Khira, you won't need to rent a shar for one full day. However, the case is where they actually went and did two plowings during the time of Zriya, and they plowed the field once right before they planted the seeds in the ground, and then they plowed the field once again right after they put the seeds into the ground. In the Hanami, between the first plowing as well as the planting, as well as plowing the field once again, it would actually equal one full day, and therefore you would actually be able to hire an ox for a full day. And the Gemara continues with the second scenario, Ibais Imo, or I could tell you, the Zara that Rabbi Yosef was talking about, hiring an ox for a full day at the time that you're plowing the field in order to seed the ground. And even though, like we mentioned, that if that's the case, that at the time that you're going to hire a shar in order to plow the field right after the harvesting season, even though certainly it takes more than at the time that you're seeding the ground, but it won't take double the amount of time. But the Gemara explained that we're talking about a scenario where this field had a lot of hills, take double the amount of time when plowing the field after the time of harvest, as opposed to at the time of Zriya, and therefore it makes sense that you hire the shar for one day at the time of Zriya, and in the Hanami, after the time of the harvest season, you hire the shar for a two-day period, which would be enough time to plow this land that was hilly, and therefore there was no loss of resources. As in both cases, you hired the shar and you rented the shar for full days, and the time is Ria for one full day, and the time of Kava for two full days. And keep in mind that there are multiple Gersois in our Gemara, and we learned the Gemara based on our Gersa and based on the second Pshat in Rashi. And Rashi states, V'ibayis imo yoy mizara the commentary yoy mekava lehave by du eskinan shiyish tereya kodol b'shasanir v'yoy mizara have a tree yoy mekava v'loshin zeh hagoin. And Rashi says, I like this loshin better than my first Pshat and better than the first Girsa. And the Gemara continues, Davlo, and Rashi explains, in Yeshlem Bar, Shemenu Mashkin Sada, if there is a water pit where they will use that water in order to water the field, then in this case, what is the din, and how large of a field do you need in order to be able to say that Zeshban Kedilazah, but Kedilazah? And the Gemara states, Rab Nachman Beidol Yoyma, Rab Nachman states that the shear they could hire a worker, that he would be able to water this area in one day, and you wouldn't have to hire him for a part of a day. And as Rashi says, Beidol Yoyma Ad Sheheba Kedei Lahashkes Sada Kedei Pulas Yemuzer Uchedei Pulas Yemuzer Mishum Schat Poyel, as of course you want to hire a poyel for a full day. as in this way, both of the partners could maximize their profitability. And the Gemara continues, Pardesa, what is the share for a vineyard? And Amar Avud Shmuel, the father Shmuel stated, Bashle Shekabin, that the share would be that the vineyard has to be large enough to be able to seed 3 kavin. And we know that a base score is 75,000 square amos, and therefore 3 kav, which is 1/120th of a base score, would be 625 square amos. And the Gemara continues, Tanya Mihachi, that we learned similar to the Din of Shmuel in the Braisa, as the Braisa states, that if Reuven says to Shimon that I'm going to sell you a portion of my vineyard, so Simcha says the smallest portion that is considered royal Israel and is considered a profitable sada is a vineyard that's a share of 3 kav, which is exactly as Shmuel stated. Braisa continues, Rabbi Yisi stated in Igl El Divrei Nevi'is that these words of Simcha are based on Nevi'is, as Rashi states, Beloitam, and as Taisa states, Loyal Shvach Kama, that this was not stated as a positive idea, that he's saying something without a tam and without reasoning, and it's only based on the vias, and therefore Abiesi is actually arguing on Sumchis, and Lefizeh comes out that in a chanami, when the Gemara said Tainami Hochi, it only meant to say that Shmuel is going like Sumchis, but not like Abiesi. However, Ein Rabbeinu Gershu Rubri's Tup Shatim, Klaima Dovizeh Shata Imme Gimel Kabin Chol Echad, and Veloya Mata Tam and Mai Gimel Kabin, Veloya Dalla Hei Kabin, Klaima Mishim Hochsi, Mechsi Kinevias, Las Batimoi, it seems like you're saying in a vias without a reasoning, Lishnachrina, different Nevias, Klaima Dvarma Lolo, Iko Kinevias, and Rabbi Yisi actually was agreeing to Sumchis, and he said that these words are different Nevias, and Lemaisa Halacha follows Sumchis. The Rima Gash actually brings down both these studim, and he states different Nevias, Shareu Oimestam, as the person that's selling the kerem just said that I'm selling you a portion of the kerem, and the Tana decided that that was Shushloi Shekabin, and that is Divrei Nevi'is. However, Rabbi Yisi is choylik on Sumchis, claim that Tzrichin Anu Navi Shivayel on a Mahoy B'daitoi Lachnois, Av Shloi Shekabin Shom Sumchis, in Lisbich Lov, Vizera Pirish Huhanacha in Ayin Shom, and Ayin Ritva, who argues in Taisis, and he says, Pirish L'Shvach Kamalah, that in a Chanami, Rabbi Yisi was saying this as a shvach of sumchis, k'demais alosh in the nevuah lachachamim, and as we will see, the Gemara will continue and explain that nevuah was eventually given to chachamim, and this was considered a maigla, and this was considered nevuah. And the Gemara continues that we just explained that when you have a vineyard, amavu deshmol bashle shekabin, that the share where you'd be able to force a partner to go and split up the sada and to split up this vineyard is a share of 3 kav. And the Gemara asks, b'bavel mai, that that's very good in Eretz Yisrael, where the land was much more fertile, but what would be the in Bavel, where land is not as fertile, and if you'd only have a small piece of land that is a share of Shleisha Kabin, that would not be enough to be profitable. And the Gemara explains, Amro Bakisna, Tlas Atsiyasa, Bene Tresa Gufni, Kehechid Rafa Gavra Biyoma, that the share would be that you have to have 3 rows of 12 vines each, as that is the share where you'd be able to hire a day worker in order to hoe around the area of the vineyard. And if the vineyard would be smaller than that, then you would have to hire a day worker for less than a full day, and of course that would not maximize your profitability and you're wasting resources, and therefore you need a share of 12 vines times 3 or 36 individual vines, which would be for each of the shuftim, and then one shuftim could force the other to split up this vineyard. And the Gemara continues that now that Rabbi Yisi stated in Eilu Divrei Nevi'is, so the Gemara speaks about the concept of Nevi'is. Rav Dimi from Chaifa said, Miyem Shechar B'Sa Migdash, from the point when Churban Bayis Rishon happened, meaning from after Klal Yisrael came back to Eretz Yisrael for Bayis Sheni, Nitlo Nevuah Min Aviyim, V'Nitlo L'Chachamim, Nevuah was taken away from Aviyim and was given over to Chachamim. And the Gemara is, Atu Chacham Lav Navihu, it's Mashmah telling us that originally the Aviyim were not Chachamim, and now in Bayis Sheni, the Aviyim were also Chachamim, and L'Chari, that doesn't make sense. And the Gemara responds, Hachi Kama, that in the Chanami, that's not what Rav Dimi meant, but he meant as follows, Afal Pishin Nitlo Aviyim, even though Nevuah was taken away from those people that were Aviyim, and those Aviyim might have not been Chachamim, the Nevuah that was given to Chachamim was not taken away, and it was still Chachamim that still had Nevuah. And the Gemara continues, Amameima, the Chacham Adap Navi, a Chacham is better than a Navi, Shinem, as the Pasuk Tillam says, V'Navi Levav Chachma, that a Navi has the heart of a Chacham. Amameima explains, mean a little bit me, when someone compares A to B, then who is the one that is compared to the other? Certainly we would say that X is smaller, is so great that he's compared to B, who's of course someone that we know is much greater, and therefore if the Pasuk says V'Navi L'Bav Chachma, then a Navi has the heart of a Chacham, it must be that a Navi is on a low Madrigal than a Chacham. And the Rishonim explained that when the Gemara Gemara says that Nevu was taken away and given to Chachamim, so Ritvasa Pirish, Shiyesha Sigu Besichlam Dvarim Habe, Shein Klech Besichal Tivi Lasigam, and this is really some sort of Ruach Kodesh that a Chacham has the ability to understand things that other people would not have the ability to understand. Ramban explains, Hachikama, Afal Pishinit Nevu Sanavim, Shuha Marva Chazoin, that this is referring to seeing visions and having direct communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, Nevu Sachacham, Shibidarech Hachma, Loi Nitla, El Yodim Emes, Bruch HaKadosh, Shabakirbam, Ayin Sham. And let's see the bottom Taisis on the Amid, Diba Maskal, Otto Chacham Lab Navihu, where Taisis is for the Gemara Mesech Sanhedrin, that the Gemara states, Mishachar Bis HaMikdash, Nito Tambio, Vinito Loi Vera. So why didn't the Gemara is, Tikshle Nami, Otto Kodim Shnecher, Loi Havlu Tambio, Loi Vera? Do you think that prior to the Bis HaMikdash being destroyed, that the Oiver Avera did not have Tambio? Hamapically, Bidachsib, Mayim Gudubim Taku, which applies even before the Churban Mabayas, Vishlem, the Iklashtuye, Hosam Kudumishani Hacha, the Inachanami, the Gemara over there would have answered the same teretz, that the Gemara means to say that Nito Tambio, that after the Churban, the Tambio was taken away from Tzadikim, Umayuver, like Nitla, but the Iver still have the Tambio, like Choshla Hakshis, Bechol Mokim, not every place where we have this question, do we ask the same questions and give the same terusim? And the Gemara continued, the Rav Dimi just taught us that Alpha Pishin Nitla Minavim, Minacham like Nitla, the Nevu was not taken away from Chomim by Bayesheni. So Amma Baya and Abaya states, Tedal bring a riot, this is true. The Amma Gav Rabba Milsa, Umisamish made a Gav Rabba Achrina Kavase, that at one period of time, you have one Tamil Chacham that says a Chiddush, and immediately at that same time, there's another Tamil Chacham in another area that says the same Chiddush, and therefore we see that there must have been a Nevuah that came down at that time and gave both of these people the same idea. And the Gemara states, Amma Rabba, that Rabba states, Umay Kusha, and what is the whole question? Vidilma Tabayo, B'nei Chad Mazalanu, maybe both of these people had the same mazel, and therefore they were both able to be mechaven to the same idea at the same time, but it's not based on nevuah. Elam Rav, and therefore Rav said, Tedal bring a raya that Chacham have nevuah, the Amar Gav Rav and Milsa, that we find that a Tam Chacham could say a chiddush, and the Mesamra Mishmed Rabbi Kiv Rabbi Yisef Kavase, and he's mechaven to the words of Rabbi Kiv Rabbi Yisef, and Ayin Rabbeinu Gershom, who points out that it was no one like Rabbi Kiva, and as he states, the Kimon Delei Hay Ma'ilam Gav Kavase, Vafil Lachik Asir Chad Tadav Amar Nafshe Kavase. And Afa Gav Dla Bnei Chad Mazlan Enu, the less the Havlei Mazla B'Toyu V'Oisha Kavosid Rabbi Kiva. And as we know, the Gemara Menachos on Daf Chavtes speaks about the greatness of Rabbi Kiva and how when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke about the greatness of Rabbi Kiva. And we continue on Daf Yud Beis and Beis, and Rashi states that Tapad Amid, V'Lek L'Meim Bnei Chad Mazlan Enu, Sharei Rabbi Kiva Chachem Menu Habe. And in this case, we can't say that they both have the same Mazel, as certainly Rabbi Kiva is a greater Chachem than him, and therefore it's impossible that they both would say the same emra, and it must be based on the vua. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says to Ravo, Umay Kushem, why are you bothered by this? Dilma l'chom milsa ba mazlihu. It's not like this person came and said over every member of Kiva Beisif. He said one member of Kiva Beisif said, and that's not a riot that he had nevuah, and he actually just had this svara, and he actually came up with one chiddush or Rav Kiva. And finally, the Gemara states, Elam Rav Ashi. Therefore, Rav Ashi says, Teda, I'll bring a riot that chacham have nevuah, the Amar Gav Rav Milsa, that a chacham will say an idea, and we will then see that he actually was mechaben to Halacha L'Mish Mesinai, and therefore it must be based on Nevuah. And the Gemara continues and asks, V'dilma Makasum Baruba, that maybe this person got lucky, and just like there's a blind person that's on a second story, and he has to get down the stairs, and without actually being able to see, he's able to stumble upon the opening in the floor in order to climb down to the first floor. And over here also, even though in the Chanami he was mechaben to Halacha L'Mish Mesinai, but that was similar to Asum Baruba, and not necessarily based on Nevuah. And the Gemara states, Lav Tam Kama, that Lemaisa, this person didn't just say over Halacha L'Mish Mesinai without a reason, but he gave a reasoning and he gave a svara as to why he thought that this should be the halacha, and l'maisa he was mechaven to halacha l'mish mesinai, and you can't say that that was kesum baruba, and therefore by the fact that he was able to be mechaven to halacha l'mish mesinai must be based on a nevuah. And the Rima Gash explains that the Gemara is not only bringing a raya that a chacham has nevuah, but it's also bringing a raya that a chacham is greater than a navi, and as he states, v'avagad d'hach gavur lo shomel ha milsim oylam harei chacham odot mi navi di'ilu navi lo yomel l'mad shomel mad that the only time a Navi would actually say something was only those things that he was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say. And the Gemara continues, that once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nevuah was taken away from Nevi'im and given to fools and to children. It's quite possible that Rabbi Yechon, who's a Amira, said this memra, and he was talking about Churban Bayis Sheni, and Rabbi Yechon is not chilek on Rav Dimi, as Rav Dimi was referring to Bayis Rishon, and Rabbi Yechon is referring to after Bayis Sheni, Vitzarech Biyar. Gemara continues, L'shoyte Mayi, where do we see that the Nevuah was given to fools? Ki hod Mar Bar Vashi, David Koy Bristuk de Mechuzah, just like the story with Mar Bar Vashi, and Mar Bar Vashi was in the marketplace in Mechuzah, which was a Rishus Rabbim, and Shamalah, who shoyte the Kamar, and he heard a fool that stated, Reish Mesifta de Malach Hashto, Bemasa Mechasia, Tevu Mechasim, that the Rashiva that will become the Rashiva in Masa Mechasia signs his name as Tevu Me, and the Gemara tells us, Omar, Mar Bar Vashi stated, Man Chasim Tevu Me, Rabbanon, Ana, that who is the one that signs the name Tevu Me amongst Rabbanon, I am that person, Shma Minol, Dikaim Lishaito, and therefore he said, it must be that my time is right and is good mazel for me at this point to become the Rashiva of Masa Mechasia, and come also, and immediately Mar Bar Vashi got up and he went to Masa Mechasia. Ad also, by the time that he got to Masa Mechasa, im the Rabbanon l'suvei l'Rab Acha b'Difti b'Reisha, the Rabbanon got together and they were going to vote that they wanted Rab Acha b'Difti to become the Rashiva. Kim neshamei da also, but once they heard that Mar Bar Vashi was coming to town, shod zug Rabbanon l'gavei l'muchabei, so they sent a peer Rabbanon to Mar Bar Vashi to ask him his opinion. And the Gemara tells us akvei the Mar Bar Vashi held them back and didn't let them leave. And hod shod zug Rabbanon achrina, so then they sent two other Rabbanon to Mar Bar Vashi, and once again, Akbe Gabe, he also delayed them from leaving and from going back until they sent enough to have a minion, and there were 10 people that were by Ma'abar Vashi, keeping the Molabe Asara, and once there were 10 people by Ma'abar Vashi, Pasachu Vitana Vidarash, so Ma'abar Vashi started saying a drasha and gave a shir, and once he gave a shir, he became the Rashiva, and the reason why he waited until he had 10 people is because you can't begin saying the shir by the Kala when you have less than people. The Gemara tells us that Rav Acha heard that Mar Bar Vashi made himself to Rashiva, Kari Rav Acha Navshei, Kalamirin Loi, Loi Bemheir Matin Loi, Vichal Matin Loi, Loi Bemheir Marin Loi, and Rav Acha stated about himself that since something bad happened and I was not able to become the Rashiva, that it's not likely that it'll ever institute me and install me as a Rashiva. And he also stated that since we see that Mar Bar Vashi was installed as the Rashiva, it's not likely that they'll remove him at any point, and therefore he never felt that he would actually become the Rashiva. And I in top taste of the Amid where he brings down for the Gemara Masechta Baba Kamma, where Rav Acha himself said that Rav Acha did not say but he said that at the beginning when this story happened he said that it won't happen quickly as he thought that potentially he could actually become the Rashiva, but it may take time. But once he saw that he wasn't still the Rashiva at any point, so then he changed the memory and he said, Lo ilam e mativin loi. And we see from here that Mar Bar Vashi actually listened to Shoita and he went to Masa Mechasa based on the Nevuah that was stated by the Shoita. And keep in mind, although Mar Bar Vashi heard this Nevuah, and L'chaira, maybe Mar Bar Vashi should have just stated where he was and he should have stayed in Mechuzah and not even traveled as the Nevuah was that he'll become the Rashiva. However, L'maisa, Mar Bar Vashi felt that he had a duty to do his establis, and therefore immediately he got up and he went to Masa Mechasa. And Ayin Rabbeinu Geshem, that the reason why Rav Ashi signed his name as Tevumi was because that was his actual name, and the only reason why he was called Rav Ashi was as a Shem Levoi and as a nickname. And Rabbeinu Geshem also explains that when Gemara states L'fisha in Paisa B'Kala Pach Me'achsara, that Kala is referring to Hahu Mesechta D'Darsh Reishim Mesechta, that Mesechta that the Rashiva would dashen in Ayin Shem. And the Gemara continues, Tinaikis Mayi, and where do we see that young children or young girl had Devuah after Bayis Sheni? And the Gemara brings a story with the daughter of Chista, Kihad Basra of Chista, that the daughter of Chista, Havias Bekanfi Davua, she was sitting on the lap of her father, Havias Bekame, Rav Ravin Rachama, and Rav and Ravin Rachama, who were Talmidim Rav Chista, was sitting in front of Rav Chista. Amulas, Rav Chista said to her, Man Minayo Boyis, which one of these would you want to marry? Amulain, she said to him, Tavayu, I want to marry both of them. Amulrava and Rav said, Ban No Basra, so Rav felt that that was a Nevuah, and therefore he immediately said that I will be the second husband, as he figured that if Rami Bachama marries her first, then they will get divorced, and eventually he would marry the daughter of Rav Chista, and the Bach Yadin, the Chain Hava, and that is actually what occurred, that this daughter of Rav Chista married Rami Bachama, and then they got divorced, and then eventually she married Rava. And Lamaisa, we see that the two stories that the Gemara brings is from after Churban Bayis Sheni, and the Gemara continued that we mentioned a member from Rav Dimi on Yud Beis and Aleph, and the Gemara continues, V'omer Rav Dimi, and Rav Dimi Dimon Chayfa said as follows, Kedim Shiechal Adam Yishta, that prior to a person eating and drinking, and therefore the person is very hungry, He doesn't have clarity and he's not decisive. However, but once he eats and drinks, then he will only have one heart and he'll be able to be decisive. As the Pasuk Eo states, ish navav yilaviv, that a person has an empty stomach, has two hearts, as the Lashon Yilaviv is a Lashon Rabim. The Gemara continues that how do we know that the word navav means something that's empty? Uksiv, and the Pasuk states, b'negeir the mizbeach adama and mizbeach nechoshes, in the Mishkan, navav lucha, that the Mizbeach HaNechoshes was made hollow and it was made out of boards, and inside the boards it was hollow and they filled that with dirt. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Huna Bar Rav Shua, Rav Huna Bar Rav Shua stated, HaRagol B'Yayin Afilu Libay Otem Kibesula Yayin Mefakhoi, that if someone drinks wine very often, then even if his heart is closed up like a basula, then by drinking wine he will be opened up and he will be able to express his Chachma. Shanem, as the Pasuk states in Zechaya, V'sirish Yinovi Basulais, that La'asid Lavoi, by drinking old wine, so the young girls will sing and they'll open their mouths in song. Rav Huna Bar Rav Shua dashens that even if someone is closed up, like a basula is closed up, and she's not Pesach Pesuach, then by drinking wine, that will open up the person and give them the ability to be expressive, and we will stop over here.